going to discuss a contemporary topic that many of you might have heard about. It's called by many things: clean meat, cultivated meat, synthetic meat, and essentially what different companies are working on is that they take stem cells from an animal and they grow it first in a laboratory, and then they'll transfer that, you know, on a manufacturing basis and grow these cells as they continue to multiply and grow. And so the question is, that which grows subsequently, as this technology is being perfected, al pi halacha, what is its status? So the first question is, let's say they take these stem cells from a non-kosher animal and they grow it. What's its halacha? So there was some rav who quoted from one of the rabbinic tzol, I forgot his name, thought that that's fine. It wasn't Rabbi Stav, it was somebody else. I don't think that that's correct. I'm quite sure it's not correct, because we have a general principle, yotzei min hatamei tamei. So if it was derived either from a non-kosher species or from a non-kosher animal, for example, it wasn't geschachten properly, so offhand, that which will grow subsequently will be also, because it's yotzei min hatamei tamei. However, the question is, let's say they take the stem cells from a geschachten animal, right, a glatt kosher animal, and then they grow it and develop it. What's its status? Is it considered fleishix? Is it meat? Or is it pav?
Yeah.
So that's a good question. I mean, it can be taken from different parts. So that's one possible. We're going to talk about that. Because if they take it from the bones, then we get involved in the gelatin shaila. What's the status of that which is derived from the bones? The Baron Cutler's question about gelatin, is it kosher or not? So I asked different people about this. Rabbi Herschel Schechter thought that it's pav, because it's not growing in an animal, it's outside the animal, artificially. That's not meat. Meat is, it comes from, you know, shecht an animal. That's basar. Rav Osher Weiss, on the other hand, that said that he thinks it's fleishix. It really comes down to, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And since its DNA will be exactly identical to meat, it has a din of basar. So in terms of this, I thought one could. I also asked Rav Mordechai Gross, who lives in Bnei Brak, is a Poisek in Eretz Yisrael, who the OU sometimes consults with. He also thought that it had a din of basar. I just want to make one caveat that Rabbi Schechter said, even though he thinks it's pav, in terms of having a cheeseburger, which is the question that every reporter asks me, so there would still be an issue of maris ayin, so you'd have to treat it like any maris ayin. So you'd have to, you know, put the, the box on the table if you're doing that, to make sure that people don't think that you're actually eating a cheeseburger. One of the things that one would think you would cite about this shaila is that we know that, in different contexts, poskim have talked about what if something's created through the same meat, created through the Sefer Yetzirah, does it have a din of basa? So the Shaloh HaKadosh famously says that this, the Pesukei Teshuva actually quotes this in the name of the Shaloh, it's in Simon Samach Beis, that Yosef saw the Shvatim eating Evim and Achai, and that's, but he didn't realize that animal was created for the Sefer Yetzirah, and it doesn't have a din of basar. And it's also, we all know, the vort from Reb Chaim Brisker about Shemen Shel Neis, you know, to answer the Beis Yosef's famous question, what was the, after the first day of Hanukkah, there was enough oil for a Neis, not for a Neis, to light. You didn't need a Neis. So why do we light 8 days? Why not only 7 days? And Reb Chaim said, the Neis wasn't that there was a ribui of oil somehow, because that wouldn't be Semajayas. The Neis was just that that each day it came down 1/8, but it wasn't Shemen Shel Neis. So every day there was a Neis. But Chaim said Shemen Shel Neis is not Shemen Zayis. Reb Osher Weiss quoted, you know, they also quote from the Shalom, how is it that the Malachim, you know, Avram Avinu gave them Chema and Ol to eat, I gave them Basa. So they say that the Basa was also through the Sefer Yetzira, so it didn't have a din of Basa. Now, first of all, whether this is relevant in terms of a Psak Halacha is very questioned. I don't think you can build based on these Agaritas. And also, it's not the same as this case, because Shemen Shel Neis is sort of like a creation Yesh Miayin. Here we're not talking about that. We're talking about taking cells from an animal and just the way we're developing them outside the animal. It's not exactly Yesh Miayin. So it's not the same as Sefer Yetzira. It's not like the same, you know, one of the first tshuvas of the Chacham Tzvi is about can you be mitzaf a goylem to a minion. So this, we will not be able to resolve that question. They used to joke in my time, you know, Rabbi Hutton was a very big expert in Maharal. So they said that he was actually even greater than Maharal, because the Maharal only made one goyla. But it was only a joke. I'm just totally off the, you know, off time. I once spoke to Rav, one of the Gedolim of Rosh Yeshivas, who the Rav had enormous respect for and had a lot of contact in his early years with, was Rav Hutner. I mean, the Rav told me that Rav Hutner never would publish something. They would discuss it, and there are some letters published between them in the Sefer Zikom of Rav Hutner. He had an enormous regard for Rabbi Hutner. Just completely an aside. Also, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara tells us, Reb Osher Weiss quotes this more also, that Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, Haviko Ozil Be'ucho, Pogu Bo Honuch Avyosa, Daviko Nami La'ape, Ama Ha'akfirim Shogim V'Laterif, Nachsile Tarte Admasa Chada Echlu V'Choda Shavkua, Aisi V'Osil Be Madrosh, Boile Dova Toma Huzer, O Dova Tor, Amlo Ain Dova Toma Yorib Min Hashemayim. So if we would say that this meat that came down in Hashemayim that satisfied these lions didn't have a din of Bosa, so we don't have to come on to the reason of in Bosa, you know, Dovet Bosa Tomei Yorim in Hashemayim. It wasn't Bosa at all. So you see that it did have a din of Bosa because it was identical with Bosa. But I wanted to ask a different question about this. There are questions what you ask. What if they take these stem cells from the bones? Or so we know that. Do we get involved in the shaila of gelatin? Because, you know, there was a very big issue about bones. Do they have a din? Let's say bones of nevela. Are they usur or not? So many poskim, including Reb Chaim Oizer, thought that the gelatin was mutter to chuvin the achiezer. For lots of different reasons, maybe it's nishtana, maybe it's nifsim achila, and also maybe atzamos don't have a din of basa, and they're not. Reb Aaron Kotler in his chuvis famously said that he thought it was asa, because the Rambam says the reason atzamos are mutter of nevela is because of shloka derech achila. It sounds like, but if you would make it voila achila, Rabban argued, it would be usur. And here we're taking the gelatin to making it so delicious. So Laban was the one who really argued against the heter of gelatin. Many gdolim disagreed, according to Chaim Moser, and as a matter of fact, elite till only, you know, I'm not sure how many years ago, but relatively recently, within the last 10 years, gave, you know, the Rabbanut gave hashkocha on these bones, because it's assumed the bones themselves, the dry bones, the reason it's shalokadech achila, because it's not the Torah asks psar nevela or psar trefa. So that's what Rabban argued against. So there were different opinions. I remember Rabbi Lau, when he was chief rabbi, told me that because elite gave it, you know, there were companies that used this gelatin, and he said that they would send some of this gelatin was produced in Belgium, and they would send mashkichim out just to make sure that the bones were completely dried out. There was no meat on them. As Rabbi Lau phrased it, it's like that some yevashim of Yecheskel. But according to Rabban, that wouldn't have helped. So now coming back to your question, what would be if they take these stem cells from bone, then we might get back into the shaila between Rabban and others, Chaim Moser, who disagree. I actually spoke to David Feinstein about it, what he thought. You know, if you didn't agree with Rabban with stem cells from, you know, then you could take maybe even from non-kosher animals, what would happen? You can end up with pork. So he wasn't sure about it. But so that's a little bit of a shot. This fellow, whose name I can't remember. What was his name? Right. I think he spoke about taking from the hair of a pig. But actually, you can't take from the... We're actually dealing with it in a different... There is no DNA in the hair. There's a different kind of DNA, microbial DNA, but they can't use it. So the part that they use is from the roots, and that's really the skin already. So that wouldn't be an Eitzah. But anyhow, so there are these different opinions. As I said, first of all, is it Fleishik's? Is it Pav? Yeah.
Even when we're talking about kosher animals, are we talking about taking the DNA when the animal's alive or after the Shechita?
Right, so I meant to clarify that. We were talking about after the Shechita, because while it's alive, there'd still be a problem maybe of, you know, Bosom and Achai and so on. I just want to tell you why this technology is so important to us. Because in kosher shechita, right, we get, let's say, what we call glatt, we get approximately 40% kosher rate. So 35, 40%. And we only take the forequarters. We don't take the hindquarters. So it means really only getting about 20%. And all the overhead has to be restricted to that 20%, you know, piled onto that 20% of the glatt that we're getting. However, if we would take a shochtan, a glatt kosher, base yosef shchita animal, and take the cells from that, we would ultimately get a 100% kosher rate. So the economics of kosher would be, theoretically, would be tremendously enhanced. And also the reason in general in the world they're interested in this is because this is an amazing statistic. Some people dispute this statistic, but some people claim that the amount of CO2 and methane produced by cattle in the United States is more than all the cars. So it would be very beneficial for, you know, in terms of the environment, and it's especially worth mentioning on today, in October, a 90 degree Fahrenheit day. So most scientists, National Academy of Science, believe in climate change. Happens the man in the White House is somewhat skeptical about it, but National Academy of Science is, you know, we'll figure out how we balance that. But Baruch Hashem, we've got the embassy in Yerushalayim, so we can't really complain. So that's why this is such an important technology. So there's another point about this that I wanted to raise, and that is, let's say they grow it's interesting. A lot of this research is being done, like all this kind of stuff that's done around the world, is in Israel and in Silicon Valley. But the guy who I spoke to, one of the main CEOs and researchers there, he's Israeli. It's just stunning in terms of every day what they do in Israel in terms of research on things. I saw today in the paper, in the Jerusalem Post, that three scientists, they will soon have a cure for diabetes, for insulin diabetes. They say within 5 years. You read it every single day. It's something like this. Stunning. But anyhow, but let's say this grows. We know that for basar to be mutter, it requires what? It requires shechita. Where's the shechita on this meat? If you hold that it has a din of basar, where's the shechita on this? You know, you took the stem cells and grew and grew and grew. Did that require shechita or not? So, what?
The first cow had
shechita. The first cow had. Oh, okay. You're 2 steps ahead of me. So I just want to... So I was thinking that this may depend on how you understand shechita. I spoke about it once, one of the luchabu here. There's a shah in terms of shechita. Is shechita a matir? That is a chalo, I mean, certainly a matir. But is it, there's a chaloi shechita that's matir the meat, right? The animal? Or it's just in the definition of shechita, of nevela, if it was killed or died through the five hilchos of shechita, so then that's not called nevela. It's a definition within nevela. So I said the other day, but you know, if I may quote myself, that this may depend on the machlokes. There's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid in the Sefer Mitzvos HaKotzer, at the beginning of the Yad Chazaka, whether you count shechita in the Tariq Mitzvos. The Rambam does. And the Ravid disagrees, says it's not one of the Tariq Mitzvos, because the Rambam thinks, the Ravid thinks, it's just a definition within Nevela. So it's really subsumed, so to speak, under the lav of Nevela. The Rambam thinks there's an Indian of Shechita, there's a Chaloi Shechita. So if it's one of the Inyoni HaTorah, and we count Inyoni HaTorah, Shemachina, Shemashacha, and so on, so Gershin, so we would count that as well, the Rambam. So maybe this is related to that. The Rav always used to say that the bracha on shechita is a bracha on the chalois heter. He assumed that there's a chalois. So I mentioned that also. Kivega says he asked the question: if you shecht on Shabbos, so the shechita is kosher, right? The first time, the second, it's not becoming. Why is it kosher? Why don't you say kol misul rabbarachmanu yavid lo mahani? So you see from Kivega's question that we can assume that what that shechita is a chalois, otherwise I'd not do yavi lamahani. We can't give us an answer to that, because you could have killed it. You know, you didn't have to, not through shechita, it would also be dead, and you'd still violate the same isa Shabbos, the tzilas neshamas. So the shechita is not adding to the isa. That's what Kivega said. Reb Chaim in Piyush Shmuas talks about this. Also, all right. So I thought that if there's a chalois heta. So once there was a chalois heta on the original meat, so maybe, you know, the original cells, that relates to what comes afterwards as well. But the proof, you see, that that's okay is what you quoted just now. That's ben pekua, because ben pekua, you shechted the mother, the ben pekua which survived and is born, little ben pekua grows and grows and grows and becomes a big animal. So everything that grew afterwards, you know, is apparently not problematic. I was thinking, learning Daf Yomi when we were doing Menachos, the Gemara says in Samach Tes and Beis, "Boy, Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Shibola Shaviyah Shlish, Kodim La Omer, for Akra Veshosh La Acha Omer." He took some grain that grew before the Omer. He uprooted it, replanted it after the Omer, and then it continues to grow. So is that called, is that which grew afterwards, is that Chodosh? Because the Omer was only Matir, the first part. And the Gemara lies with a Teiko. So maybe our issue should be a Teiko then. But Rabbi Shechter thought, speaking to him about this, he said that even if we'll say that it has a din of basha, On the other side, he actually thought it didn't. Because the halacha of shchit is only for Baal Chai. So there's no halacha. The halacha is not said on basa requires shchita. A Baal Chai requires shchita. So these, you know, cells that continue to grow, maybe they don't require shchita. But I thought it was something, you know, worth thinking about. So my friend Bibliokru Kowski showed me that Ruchonon Vassman in the Kovetz Hioris in Simon Nuntes has a discussion about this, about Shchita, and the Chalois Het of Shchita, is it a Chalois that continues afterwards? So, Ayin Shamatim Sonachas. Okay, but this is actually a fascinating technology. They've already created, you probably read about it in the paper, the $300,000 burger when they first started this technology, which was done in Holland. They made one burger with this technology, but now they've gotten, because economy is saying in the research, they expect that, you know, they already, if you go on the internet, you see in Israel they're serving this kind of meat, still quite expensive, but they think within the next 3-4 years they will perfect this technology and they'll have this kind of artificial meat available, and it probably will have, you know, significant impact on the market. Okay, so that's the part. So I wanted to not just, it is Sarah Simeon Tshuva, I wanted to just say something about that I was thinking about that related to the mitzvah vidui. And the shaila I had is this. We know that the essential part of tshuva, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, is vidui. And it's something that you have to articulate. And the Rambam includes in the vidui, charata, you know, hakaras hachet, charata al sha'ava, kabbalah lahabor, and you have to, you know, mention specifically the aveira, and it all has to be said b'peh, right? Famous question they asked in the Rambam. So why is it? Some of the Mekadosh says, including Mekadosh Nisham Nash Shani Tzadik Gomer Chosh Latush Kevish Shehira Tshuva Belibo. You know, I think the Lech Mishnah asked a question. Others, the Rav has a discussion about this. But the Rambam requires that you have to say it, right? So this is my shaila. What if a person didn't? The person next to him said it, and he listened, and is this Shemeya Ka'ina on Vidu? What would you say?
They have to have done the same Avera?
Yeah,
did they have to go
Avera? Yeah, he said for Chilul Shabbos, and he listens, right? And maybe he's saying it for him. He knows what this guy's Avera
saying.
For
Kiddush. Right. For Kiddush, if you're holding
So I thought a dava poshut that you can't say Shemei Ka'ana on Vidui, because the reason the Rambam requires that Vidui should be said and should be said out loud, in other words articulated, is because that's the Gemirah Stas, it's part of the Tshuva process. That's why the Rambam includes in it, you have to say Chalata, and you have to include all these components in it. Right, the Rambam has that, the Rambam has the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. He says, Vidui zeh mitzvos asei, keitzin nesvadim, oma ona shem chatosi, avishi pashaiti, and so on. Vayinichanti boshu b'maisi, will only mene chozol dover zeh, equal shalvidus. So you have to have kabbalah habor as well, right? So if it's something believed, you know, it's not just some amorphous notion that you have in your mind. That's part of the tshuva, so that you can't have shemaya ka'ina. So when I was in Israel a few years ago, I asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky what he thought about that, and he thought, no, the shemaya ka'ina and vidu.
The Kohen Gadol is about to see everyone in the.
So actually, the Rav has it. He doesn't ask this question, but something the Rav has in the Ikros HaGrid, I think, is relevant to this, because the Rav asked this question. when you look at the vidui of the Kohen Gadol for Klal Yisrael, Od Hashem Chatoshi Avishi Beshaiti, we're going to say it coming, right? Or then Chatu Avu Poshu Amcha Yisrael, right? So he doesn't have the components that the Ram requires in Ilchas Tshuva. There's no Chavatul Sha'ava, you know, there's no Boshtim Dun Chamti, there's no Kabbalah Haba. It's missing. So how is the Vidu, the Kohen Gadol, effective? So the Rav asked this question. And the Rav answered that there are two kinds of Vidui. One Vidui is part of the Maisa Tshuva itself. And that requires these components, Kabbalah Haba, Chavatul Sha'ava, right? But then there's another Vidui, and that's the Vidui of Ritzui, that's related not just to Kohen Gadol, when anybody brings a korban chatas, right? So the Ram says on a shlomim you say tilim, but on other korbanos you say vidui. It doesn't necessarily have these things, because the vidui of ritzui, right? Before he brought his korban, he did tshuva. Otherwise it would be zevach v'sharm toeva, right? So the vidui that he says is vidui of ritzui, and we have that on Yom Kippur also. Because when we say the vidui Yom Kippur, we're also missing these things. Because some say that that's the special vidui of Yom Kippur, maybe you don't need it, but the Rav assumed that's because this is vidui of ritzui, because the kaparas hayom is mechayev vidui. So that vidui doesn't have these other elements. As a matter of fact, you know, the Minchas Chinuch has a shaila whether you can make a shliach to say vidui for you, because you see Moshe Rabbeinu said vidui for all Klal Yisrael. This is the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah sin samach dalid, as Moshe, you know, for the Egel, you know, so he's and that's where we learn that we know that you need to mefarat the chait. So you see, you could be do vidui based for somebody else. What the Minchas Chinuch's vod is a little bit difficult, because it's a mitzvah. L'chol, you can't have a shliach. There's no shlichus by mitzvahs. How can I make a shliach? I point you, you know, I have to go to work today. Do me a favor, go to shul and say vidui for me. So the Rav thought that there are two halachs in vidui. There's the vidui of tshuva that requires. The Rav wasn't related to the shaila of Shomei Koina, but the vidui of tshuva, which requires chavlat and kabbalah haba, that's one parsha of tshuva. Then there's another halacha of tshuva, of vidui, of the vidui itself is ritzui and kapara. That's the vidui of the Kohen Gadol. And that doesn't incorporate. And I'll give you another example. The Rav said. The Rav said the Loch, the Mahatma has a shaila whether if Avera she'aval his father Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur achad, that the next Yom Kippur should be choizen be misvad on them. So the Rav said in Hilchas Tshuva there's no Loch. If you already did Tshuva, you did Tshuva, unless you were choizen to do that chet again. But why is it the vidui that the Gemara suggests that you can say for each as Yom Kippur comes? It's because the Yom Kippur, the Mechaper comes, that's Mechayev, that's part of the Kabbalah Sakabara, is to say vidui. That vidui doesn't require the Kabbalah Habor, just Chatosi Avisi Pashaiti. So I was thinking in terms of Shemaya Ka'ina, that I would have said like this, that the vidui of Tshuva, you can't have Shemaya Ka'ina. Because the whole reason the Ram says that you say it out loud is because what? Is because that's the Kmiras Das for the tshuva. But the vidu that's of Ritzui, like the vidu the Kohen Gadol, or the vidu that we say every Yom Kippur, or the vidu that we say when the Chazan says in the Chazos HaShat, in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, that vidu and that vidu, there could be Shemaya Kohen. So in terms of what the Chaim Kanievsky said, I would dinsach with him on part. Let me ask him, in other words, so, I mean, I, I'm not going to say it, but of course one could speak about, you know, what Shomei Koine is. Is Shomei Koine, like I said it myself, and so on. But I don't think it's relevant to this. Even if she, I'll just tell you a vote I heard from the Rav. The Rav said, you know, there's Machloikis, Rashi, and Tosfos. Where if you hear Kedusha in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, the Chazan's up to Kedusha, should you listen or not? So Rashi says you should listen, and you'd be Yotzi, you'll be Yotzi through Shemaya Ko'ayna, you'll be Yotzi the Kedusha in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. And Tosfos disagrees. He says it's a hefsek in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So Achronim usually learn that this Shaila is a Shaila. What's the loch of Shemaya Ko'ayna? Is Shemaya Ko'ayna as if I said it? Mamish, or just I'm Yotzi, right? So Rav Moshe has an interesting. So the Rav learned that's not the Shaila in Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't disagree because he thinks it's Mamish Ko'ayna. You know, there's a famous Beis Halevi about this. Can you have Shomea? There was a can you have Shomea Ko'ayna for Nesias Kapayim? Yeah, there was a Shaila, there was a Ko'ayn who couldn't speak. Could one Ko'ayn listen to the other and be Yotze with that? And the Beis Halevi said, the Nitziv, I think, said, the Beis Halevi said no, the Nitziv said yes, I think, right? The Beis Halevi said no, because since you need Kol Ram, so that Shemaya Ko'ayna is Ko'ayna, but it's not the Kol Ram. But the Rav said that the Shaila is a different Shaila. The Shaila is whether Tosfos, you can't be Mekayim another mitzvah, the Kedusha in the middle of Shemaya. That itself is the Hefsek. It's not a Shaila whether it's deeper or not. So I told the Rav, Moshe has an interesting tshuva. What if a person's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and they're up to Kriyas HaTorah? Should he listen to the Kriyas HaTorah? So Moshe has a Lamdash tshuva. He says that Kriyas HaTorah is not based on Shemaya Ko'ayna. For Harais, even a cotton can be Oila. It's just because Divrei Torah is Yachis to you, and therefore you could do it in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And the Rav said, no, it's not the Shemaya Ko'ayna. He was masking to the Lamdas. But he said, but the Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei is a different Kiyum. Just Rashi, and he says Rashi would say that also. Just Rashi thinks that Kedusha is part of the Shemoneh Esrei, so it's in a different place. But it's Meshach Shayach to the Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore Rashi thinks you could say it in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei.
One thing is right, what he said about Shemaya Ko'ayna by Tshuva, because the Shemaya Ko'ayna and Kriya Shema.
Oh, right. I wanted to say, I made this up. Rabbi Rashi mentions, Yerushalmi says on Kriya Shema, benching, and Tefillah, there's no Shemaya Ko'ayna. That's the Rav has all yours at you. When, you know, one person bets, it's different. It's not based on Shemaya Ko'ayna. It's Echad Mevarech L'Kula. Because everybody, the Yushami says, you have to daven for yourself. And for Kriya Shema, you have to mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim yourself. Right? And Tefillah, you, and, right? So, so similarly, Vidui, you can't, there's no, just like the Yushami says by Tefillah, right? Rabbi says, the same principle often would apply to the, at least to the Vidui of Tshuva. So that's a slightly different reason. I was saying because you have to say it out loud because of the Gemara. The Gemara starts to say it out loud, but it's also just like the Yerushalmi says, by Tefillah, you can't have another person be mespala for you. Everybody has to daven for themselves. So there'd be no Shemaya Ko'ayna on Vidu. In general, these mitzvahs, just finally, the Rav once said, if you look, the Rav, you know, had this yisod, which he used in several places, that sometimes the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyama mitzvah are not the same. If I eat matzah, so there the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyama mitzvah are one and the same. But by tefillah, the Maisa mitzvah is the davening, saying that the tefillah, right, the Shemoneh Esrei. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah is a Kiyum Shirulev, right? The Ram holds that tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But what's the mitzvah? Avdu b'chol levavchol nafshechem. Eizu avodah shirulev, zu tefillah. And similarly, Kriyashma, the Maisa mitzvah is saying the Parashios. But the Kiyama mitzvah is what? Is Kabbalah Somach Shemayim. And, right? So, and Tshuva, the Rav said, these, you know, the discussion, what's the mitzvah of Tshuva? So the Rav said, the mitzvah of Tshuva, the Minchas Chinuch talks about, the Minchas Chinuch assumes that the mitzvah is vidui. And the Rav used to quote his uncle, the Menachem Krakowski, the Avodas HaMelech, in his sefer also says the mitzvah is vidui, right? That's the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. He says, "Kol mitzvah shebetorah and v'chulu im ava adam al achem mehem kasheoshe tshuva yoshe micheto chayiv lehisvados vidui zeh mitzvahs ase." Right, and then the Rambam says ketzid mitzvada. So for the Rambam, it sounds like the vidui is the mitzvah, right? That's what Minchas Chinuch assumed. So the Rambam said, no, the Rambam in the Halachas is telling us what is the Maisa mitzvah is vidui. But tshuva is a much more all-encompassing, and therefore when the Rambam quotes the mitzvah in the Koteret, he says to do tshuva. Similarly, the Rambam has that dichotomy. He has it in Tefillah and Krishma also, that the Maisa mitzvah and the Kima mitzvah is split. So the Maisa mitzvah is vidui, but the Kima mitzvah is tshuva. You know, to change your whole way of life. It's not something trivial. And so that, as Rabbi Rachman correctly said, that goes back to the principle of the Yerushalmi. And on that, there's no Shemaya Ka'oina. That everybody has to do on his own. And you can't have another. So the halacha, based on the Rav has a yotzeh by tefillah also, that the chazan when he davens, it's a different halacha. He's the shliach of the tshiva, but it's not based on the principle of Shemaya Ka'ina. Okay,
try it.
Just one thing I would add, if you look in the Rambam Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchos Maisa Sheni Halacha Heid, as relates to Vidui Maisus, he says, this is the Lashon Rambam, Vidui Zeh Nema B'chol Lashon, Shenema V'yamata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'chol Lashon Shta Omer, V'chol Echad V'Echad Omer B'fnei Atzmo, V'im Rotsu Rabin L'Svazos K'Echad M'Svadim. So the Minchas Chinuch in the Mitzvah Tov Rezayin is bothered. Why does Rambam say to call Echa the Echad Omer Vifnei Atzo that Shemaya Ka'ona doesn't help by Vidi Maisa? How does the Rambam know that? It implies with Shorach Ian. Maybe the loch is because since it has a din of Vidui, of course, not a Vidui for Chet, so therefore the Rambam thinks there's no Shemaya Ka'ona on Vidui. But of course, it's difficult, but I was saying there's no Shomei Ka'oina by Vidui, because that's the Gemara Tshuva, and that's the articulating it, each person, that shows his seriousness and so on. That's not something another person could do on his behalf, but that would not relate L'choira to Maisa Sheni. This Vidui of Maisa Sheni would be like the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. The other category, if you look in the Emes Emuna of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he says, so he actually says what we spoke about before, the Yerushalmi, that just like by Kriya Shema, one person can't say Kriya Shema for another, but the Yerushalmi says, Yerushalmi brachas per gimel och gimel, Ain other motzis chaveru k'dei she'kol echav echav mishanim b'fiv, u'betfila ain motzi k'dei she'kol echav echav mevakesh rachman al atzmo. So here also, everybody has to mevakesh rachman al atzmo, you know, to say that he was mekayim the mitzvah properly. And therefore, that's something that everybody should say on his own. Okay.